On a podcast discussing Law and Order, the people in the conversation include two separate yet equally important groups, the host, who is not a group at all, and the panelists, who have a lot to say about a show that ran for 20 seasons and spawned several spin-offs. These are their stories.
That's right. After almost 8 years, Pop Culture Happy Hour is getting around to one of the most resilient and rewatchable franchises ever, Law and Order. I'm Linda Holmes, and joining me for this very special conversation are two women who know this world very well. First, from Boston, from WBUR, our friend Margaret Willison. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Linda.
And from NPR New York, the East Coast editor of Previously.tv, Sarah D. Bunting. Hi, Sarah.
Chung Chung.
Chung Chung. So, Sarah, you are, I know that you were a big Mothership person. You were a big Law & Order Mothership, meaning original Law & Order person.
Yes, that theme song is my ringtone on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Sarah, I knew we were meant to be friends.
It's so worth it. Make it happen for yourself. I definitely recommend it. Yes, I'm still a huge Law & Order fan in almost all of its incarnations.
Yeah.
It's definitely visual comfort food for me.
Yeah. How about you, Margaret? Are you a Mothership person?
Oh, I'm pretty much Mothership purely. If I've got to get a fix and all that's available is SVU, like, I'm not going to fight it.
Right.
But I just love the clean purity of not knowing anything about any of the detectives' lives.
Yes.
And, oh, yes.
All children of ambassadors being deeply and eternally suspect.
Yeah. No, it's true. So if you're not familiar with Law & Order, and how is this possible? But if you don't have cable, let's say, for example, Law & Order typically will spend the first approximately half of the show with the police detectives who are investigating. And then after they catch someone who might or might not be the person who is guilty, then you spend about the second half in court. And over the course of 20 seasons, they cycled all these people through. There were different detectives, there were different teams of detectives, there were different teams of lawyers, which brings us to, I think, the most important question of any Mothership issue, any Mothership conversation, which is, do we agree that Jerry Orbach's Lenny Briscoe is the most important cop?
Oh, yes. Without question.
Yeah. So who's his best partner? Are you a Briscoe and Logan person? Are you a Briscoe and Curtis person?
I'm absolutely a Logan person.
Oh, nice.
That's where I came in. My first apartment in New York, the only thing that this roommate and I could sort of agree on is that the then rock block of episodes airing in the evenings on A&E was the best way to spend one's time. And those were Loganisodes, because
yeah.
I think that was still, I mean, I'm so old. This was over 20 years ago. And even the new episodes were still
right.
Loganisodes.
Right.
And then he was not getting along, allegedly, with creator Dick Wolf and was escorted off the show via, I believe, punching a bigoted councilman in the face.
Yes, that is what
wow.
happened to the character played by Chris Noth, also known as Big on Sex and the City.
Yeah, the character was farmed out to Staten Island, had a horrible TV movie, and then came back on Criminal Intent. But Curtis was a rough adjustment for me. Watching the episodes now, I really love them, especially Briscoe making fun of him and
yes.
how he has ties older than him.
Yes, this was Benjamin Bratt. He was there when they did the whole, like, that was their Hollywood arc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their little,
yes.
yeah, their little
The
Hollywood
L.A. triptych.
Arc.
I love it. I can never not watch it.
Yeah. All right. Margaret, how about you? Who's your favorite cop? Other than Briscoe.
Obviously, can't say Briscoe because Briscoe is a god among men. He's not a cop.
Right.
He's bigger than that.
Right.
It's tough. It's like trying to pick a favorite child. I feel like the episodes that I remember the most as sort of the balance between the absurdity the show would reach in later seasons and the vague notion of groundedness that it had in its early seasons is the Curtis block.
Oh, interesting.
I remember particularly the episodes where Julia Roberts came on as a guest star when she and Benjamin Bratt were like an item.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was so evil. Oh,
she was.
She was
super evil.
That's her best role, I think.
She was.
I mean, what a get for Law and Order.
The funny thing about that show is that there have been, partly because I think it's in New York, and so you get a different, like, bunch of people who, some of them come from theater and all this stuff, but you have such an interesting bunch of guest stars, both, like, big people like Julia Roberts, but also, I mean, everybody knows the Claire Danes episode from before she was famous. She did an episode of Law & Order. There are two, actually, Ellen Pompeo episodes from pre-Grey's Anatomy, on one of which she's also very evil. So you do get all these amazing guest stars. Sarah, you, I know that you have a fondness for Ben Stone, who was the DA before Sam Waterston, right?
I do.
And Ben Stone was, you know, the original big shot lawyer. And then kind of like he also kind of left weirdly, I felt like.
I believe the Law and Order verse has now killed off this character.
Yeah, they did.
Officially, in order to bring back his son from Chicago Law.
Yeah. It all got very tricky because they have now, not only is there a sprawling Law & Order universe, which includes Law & Order SVU, Law & Order Criminal Intent, and some other ones that didn't go. So another thing that I want to talk about, I want to talk about some rules of the Law & Order universe, because this is something that Sarah and I have spent some time on, which is stuff like, why does anyone still go to Hudson University?
It is the most dangerous institution of higher learning in the world.
Yeah. Nothing good ever happens there.
No, nothing good ever happens there. And there's another, you only ever go to Mercy Hospital, which I used to live in that neighborhood, and based on the address, it is in a karaoke bar in Little Korea.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, value add for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I think another one that I have sometimes talked about is that if you believe that the Law & Order universe is correct about everything, then the East River is like 60% guns at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's mostly just guns. Yeah. It's a few dead bodies and then all guns.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously the famous rule of the most famous person in the episode is the killer. However, there's the little known codicil, unless someone else on the episode was famous in an NBC show, in which case, twist, they're the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great John Mulaney bit where he talks about Law and Order, like detective work, where they always talk to the person who's unloading crates, that his favorite character is person who won't stop unloading crates, but also talks about, and this is the one that always gets me, is the bartender who remembers everyone.
Yeah.
If you've never heard those, they are great.
They absolutely are. Yeah. And I believe there's also a John Mulaney's iced tea bit.
Oh, there is.
Inspired Twitter account.
Yeah. Oh.
That randomly generates street drugs.
Oh.
And then puts the caption over iced tea, and it calls the things like, you know, Pampers cotton candy and stuff like that. The kids are calling it Pampers cotton candy. Yeah. And then it's just iced tea glaring inscrutably.
Yeah.
At which he is indisputably the best.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit about SVU, which is what Sarah and I have a friend, Laura, who calls it Law & Order Sex Police, which is not really what it is, but it's sort of what it is. They do sex crimes and stuff like that. And this one is going to be on basically for as long as Mothership was when it's all done. It's a little differently structured because they don't spend as much time with the lawyers. They spend more time with the detectives. And as Margaret pointed out, Mothership was much better about not getting involved in the personal lives of the detectives.
Right. Oh, my God.
So Olivia Benson, who is their primary detective on SVU, played by Mariska Hargitay, I feel like they have changed that show so much over the last, like, three or four seasons that it is almost exclusively about the personal lives of the detectives.
Yeah. And it's a real shame because there's one way I could really lean into that, which is if they just admitted that Olivia is probably a lesbian and they gave her like a nice same-sex relationship.
I'd watch that. Sure.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Bring back Stephanie March.
Right.
Right.
Who played one of the DAs, one of the ADAs, Alex Cabot.
There are outtakes available online, and it's the two of them like cracking up during scenes together and then just like pretending to make out.
Yes.
And then they released that to the internet immediately because the fans were convinced that they had a relationship. Here's the thing about Benson. Can Sarah get through this without swearing? Let's find out. Benson is now a lieutenant and should not be out on cases in the field every time, much less repeatedly inserting herself into home invasion scenarios for which she is not trained. If this is going to happen, have her be super cop and don't have her constantly on the verge of tears when taking a victim statement after more than 20 years in this unit, or weepily saying that she has to get home to her son, who is constantly falling out of beds, getting randomly shot at on playgrounds, wandering into the street when she's not paying attention. I want him to be okay.
Yes.
Off screen. I don't want to see him. Have her be super cop then.
Yes.
I am watching a procedural, right, not a family drama about a lady lieutenant, which is not a, that's a perfectly interesting show. Mm-hmm. That's not this show. Stop making this show that show.
There is an interesting relationship that the character of Olivia Benson and the show Law & Order SVU have with people who've actually experienced sexual violence in their lives, however, which in one way, it seems like it would be an unbelievably traumatic show to watch if that was a real part of your life, given that there's always this sort of queasy line that it's playing between sympathy and prurience, you know, where like you can't really tell if it's being related empathetically or if it's being related salaciously. However, to step into this world where, like, there's this incredibly compassionate cop,
right,
who almost always believes you, who is there to sincerely avenge you and just protect you, Olivia Benson, I think, can mean a lot to women who've actually gone through some of that, or I should say to people who've gone through that.
I think that's right. I think that's very
true. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Hargate has done an incredible amount of work in getting rape kit backlogs into the public consciousness and is definitely an advocate off screen for survivors of sexual violence. I think the problem sometimes is that the show can become a little bit PSA ish and lecture-y,
for sure,
and no one is willing to challenge her, an executive producer, on that because she's the, you know, driving force of the show at this point. So, I mean, I don't know what I would do in their position sort of creatively to try to rein that in. I'm not sure it's possible, and I guess it's getting the hate-watching ratings from my house, so.
Well, yeah, it's like I haven't stopped watching it, even though it sometimes frustrates me. And I do prefer, like, the old, for the first maybe, what, 10, 11 seasons,
mm-hmm,
her partner was Chris Maloney. So here's what I want to ask also. I want to ask one kind of sum-up question, which is favorite episode. Margaret, why don't you start?
Despite the fact that I'm a mothership girl, my favorite episode is an SVU episode, and it is the one where SVU tackles animal rights.
Oh,
that
God.
Involves an endangered monkey smuggled inside
a basketball.
A basketball. It's so good that my friend Jackie Shine wrote an entire oral history about how that episode came to be that only makes it better.
Nice.
The episode is called Wildlife, and it is truly incredible.
Sure it is. Wildlife. All right, how about you, Sarah? Favorite episode?
Oh, boy. There's so many. I would pick the L.A. triptych, but I feel like that's not fair to do because it's a three spot. So...
Mm-hmm.
If I must pick a single episode, Rebecca Lavoie, wherever you are, you know what I'm going to say. It's the Vixie Platinum episode of Law & Order SVU, which I think is somewhere in season 9 and involves their take on Second Life, which I think they call Another Universe. And Olivia is obliged to order a like a cooperating witness or like the Zuckerberg of this fake Second Life. They're trying to find the real version of a house that's in the game, but they can't find it unless it's daytime. So she has to tell him, turn on the sun.
Turn on the sun.
It is the most gloriously ridiculous. And also the user interface is so, it's like pre-Toy Story 1. It's awful.
Yeah.
And as usual, they're obliged to act like the internet, much as the East River is 60% guns, the internet is 92.5%. predators played by either Kevin Tai or guys who look like him. And in this case, it is actual Kevin Tai. It's awful. I love it. I'll alert people on Twitter when it's coming on. So if you need that in your life, I'm here for you.
Yeah. So I would go with, I'm going to pick a mothership episode. I am going to go with that Julia Roberts. She's like a charity.
It's so good.
Fundraiser person. She is so evil and she is so slippery and her little flirtations with Curtis are so naughty. That's a good one. That character
is a jerk and she's not vain about it at all.
No.
I really respected her so much for doing that because she's awful, but she's great.
All right. Well, I want to hear what all of you think about Law & Order. Tell me your favorite episode. Tell me your favorite team of detectives and lawyers. Come and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it's going to be time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What is making us happy this week? So come right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. In 1980, with a few thousand dollars and used dairy equipment, Ken Grossman founded Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Ken's award-winning ales propelled him from home brewer to craft brewer. Today, Ken and his family still own 100% of the company, one of the most successful independent craft breweries in America. More at sierranevada.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Microsoft Surface Laptop. At just under 3 pounds and with up to 14 and a half hours of battery life, Surface Laptop lets you binge watch your favorite shows whenever and wherever you want. Do more with Surface Laptop. Thin, light, and beautiful.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It is time for our favorite segment, What is Making Us Happy This Week? Margaret Hula Hoop Willison, what is making you happy this week?
Well, very little is making me happy this week because I am in the middle of packing up an apartment I have lived in for 10 years.
Oh, worst.
Oh,
it is. However, a bright spot is that I've been checking in with a WBEZ podcast that I can recommend unreservedly. It's actually part of a pair of podcasts. They did a project last year called Making Oprah, which was a 6-part documentary podcast series all about sort of how Oprah went from being a small-time newscaster to, like, basically second only to Mary, Mother of God in the understanding of most American women.
Yes.
And that was phenomenal because I knew very little about Oprah, and they share so many fascinating details, and it was riveting. They recently released Making Obama, and I was anxious about starting it because I worried it would be a bit of a hagiography because he's just a figure of such charm that it's kind of hard to approach him otherwise. But upon listening to it, it really isn't. It engages so interestingly with how he worked within the Chicago and Illinois political system to sort of become the figure that he is. And it interviews all kinds of fascinating people, and it's just absolutely delightful. So those WBEZ podcasts can make even packing 19 boxes of books to give away a pleasant experience.
Oh, gosh. That's a lot of books. Making Obama and Making Oprah from WBEZ. Thank you very much, Margaret Willison. Sarah D. Bunting, what is making you happy this week?
I am not packing, but I'm also with I'm with Margaret. Not a whole lot is making me happy this week, so I'm really glad to report that two old favorites have two new singles out that you can listen to. Johnny Marr, late of the Smiths. He's been doing solo stuff for ages. He has a new single out, I think as of this week, called Hi Hello. So hi. And the Backstreet Boys, Backstreet is back with Don't Go Breaking My Heart. They didn't.
What?
Neither of these songs is like a big departure for, it's not like the Backstreet Boys are like, and now our bluegrass phase. Like, it's pretty much exactly what you'd expect,
yeah.
But they're both quite well produced and they're just good summer songs to have on while you're cleaning the house or driving around with your windows down. And there is something to be said for consistency of product.
Yes, very
particularly
true.
In a Law & Order podcast.
Yeah, particularly with the Backstreet Boys, it's absolutely product. It's hair product. It's processed. It is product, but it is like Aquanet Max Hold for this Jersey Girl, very reliable source of joy.
Very nice.
So I would recommend, two singles by, they're not heritage touring acts, but they're getting there.
Yeah.
Getting up there.
And may I say that if you want to hear more of Sarah talking about songs, she has a podcast, which is called Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. All right. Thank you very much, Sarah Bunting. I am going to recommend a book this week. It is by Julia Whalen, who is a pal of mine, I will disclose, but is also my favorite audiobook narrator. She wrote a book called My Oxford Year, which is about a grad student who goes to Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship and meets a bunch of British people. And it's very, very sweet, but it's also kind of, you know, it's emotional and serious, but also fun and often funny. And it's kind of uplifting in a certain way. And so it's a very good book. Again, My Oxford Year by Julia Whalen. And I do recommend the audiobook if you like that sort of thing. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow me at Linda Holmes. You can follow Margaret at Mrs. Friday Next and Sarah at Tomato Nation. You can follow our producer, Jessica Reedy at Jessica_Reedy, and our producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katziff at Mike Katziff, KATZIF. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. Special thanks to our pal Bob Mondello for helping us out with that introduction. And thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chung Chung.
Chung Chung. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you right back here next week.
Did cutting taxes actually grow the economy?
And what makes DJ Khaled the king of pop music?
The Indicator, tackling the big economic questions every day.